Hey Wes, what's up, brother?
Oh man, I gotta tell you, I know they can get really taxing, but I love a good rack and stack day.
Know, so do I. So do I. And it was funny this morning. I woke up and I was up out the door at 6:30 getting a walk in and eating a little healthy stuff at 6:35. No, about 6:45, 6:50. Had my coffee. Started to look through as I normally do my schedule for the day, which I always do the night before because I'm a big believer in today starts yesterday, right? And I go, man, we got rack and stack day today, and just three as always. And I need to come up with a really unique word for this that nobody uses, but incredible guests. We've just been blessed, and what's amazing to me is I think we're right close to, and I know we're going to do the count at 200 episodes, and you'd have thought we'd have went through all the great guests we could ever have, right? It's like we're going to find the bottom of a barrel someplace, right? Go out in the street looking for somebody because it's like we talked to everybody, but they just keep coming. It's amazing.
Not only do we have incredible guests that keep coming, Randy, but we've been blessed to have people like Ben Gay the third, our buddy. I believe he's on five, going to be on six here soon. We, of course, got to go out and meet him, which is going to be coming up as well on other projects. But the other thing too is I did the exact same thing, and look what popped up in my memories today.
Oh, man.
You and I, that was a year ago.
Wow.
And so it's just time flies, and we're lucky enough to not only be the pilots of that plane, but like you said, the guests and the passengers on that plane have been just absolutely incredible.
It is. And one final thing before we get to somebody way more interesting than us, and he, this guy is interesting, Gene, but speaking of that, and one of the subjects we talk about a lot is networking and engaging and meeting people. And we've both had the opportunity and the honor and the blessing to meet several of our guests in person, ones that we didn't already know. Like you talk about Ben. And in about a month, I'm going to be up near Orlando for some family stuff, and I'm tying in as long as it still works out. We've all both agreed. If you remember Lieutenant Colonel Oak McCullough, that was on our show a few weeks ago. You retired, led the first Cav, writer, speaker, outstanding guy. He and I are going to meet for a long lunch, and that's one of the great blessings of what we do too. Is not only do we get to meet great people, bring them to our audience, but God, it's just so fun when you actually get to meet up with them and shake hands and bro hug and just spend time, right?
Well, the other thing is that by engaging and actually going through and creating a reels, putting the social in social media, it's not just lip service. I was blessed to be in Cleveland a couple of days
Right.
ago, and when I got home, I had a message from none other than Marvin Montgomery. He
Yep.
said, "The next time you're in Cleveland, you tell me so I can buy you lunch or dinner."
There you go.
It's not just an interview. These people are becoming fast friends. So, and like you
Exactly.
said, we need to get to Gene and find out his awesome sauce. But you couldn't be more spot on, Randy.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I've been avoiding Cleveland because every time I go, I meet Marvin, and I think I owe him breakfast this time. So I've been trying to, like, I'm cheap,
I told him, I
I
said, I need to do that because I could use a good
guess.
Marvinizing.
Yeah, we
So
can always use a good Marvinizing.
that's
And
right.
we are going to be, I mean, we're in for a treat again right now with Gene Marks. I'm going to, so we can get right to it with Gene. This guy's a, I wrote down a CPA and much, much more. That is his education, if you will, but he's a past columnist for the New York Times and the Washington Post. That's pretty big. He's current and regular contributor to Fox News and MSNBC. The writes for The Hill, The Washington Times, Forbes Magazine, The Philadelphia Inquirer, The Guardian, an entrepreneur. And there's probably a couple I'm missing. That's almost some good cred, right? I think.
Well, he's also in a little club that you're not part of yet, and that's the Follically Challenged Club that we meet. God only made a few perfect heads, the
That's
rest of
true.
them you put
That's
hair on.
the truth. They put a lot of hair on it and they make it go white.
That's
So
right.
there you go. All right. Look, we'll chat again later. Let's bring on Gene. He's probably
All
eating all
right.
the grapes in our cheap green room.
All right.
All
Bye-bye.
right.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Good afternoon, my friend. How are you, Gene?
I'm doing fine. You know, I am convinced, Randy, that you guys are just using this whole show just to get free dinners, you know, from people around the country.
So it's a little too obvious, right? Is that a little obvious?
Like, you know what? I'm going to start a show and then have guests on and then, like, say I'm going to go out and see them.
And then if they're really nice, they'll buy me dinner instead of the other way around. I like
that's
it.
That's exactly right.
That's
good
stuff.
And that challenge comment was actually also really funny. My my kids make fun of me all the time that I look like George Costanza. That's not a compliment. And it's a brutal family. And I was going to interview George Costanza. It actually keeps getting postponed. Not Jason. Alexander.
Yeah.
And everybody was freaking out because they wanted to see me like on the same screen, you know, with doppelganger.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is funny. So that's the plate of the follically challenged.
That would be, I tell you what, I can't wait till you do that because he is a favorite of mine.
He wrote a new book. I do this podcast every week for Paychex, and I also do one for the Hartford. And we interview, you know, different entrepreneurs and people impacting small and mid-sized businesses. And he wrote a book with another guy, really about managing personalities, and because he spent his whole life in the theater and dealing with failure and dealing with, you know, success and a lot of things that I think business owners can walk away with lessons. And that's why that was the premise of interviewing him. So.
Yeah. Just everybody, you say that Jason Alexander, some may know, you say George Costanza, I'm sorry, you must have been living under a rock forever if you don't know that.
I know. It's pretty unbelievable that, like, my I don't know if you have kids or how old they are, but my kids are in their 20s and they all love, their whole generation still loves Seinfeld. I mean, mm-hmm. It really tells you something, you know?
You can go back and watch a Seinfeld that you might have sold 12 times.
Yep.
And it's still funny as hell. Every word coming out of any of their mouths, every action they make is.
It's
you know exactly what they're going to say.
Yeah, it's one of those go-to shows that you're like, you know, if I just put on an episode, I know it's going to make me laugh. And talk about, like, you know, being a winner in excellence and all that. I mean, it has just maintained its quality throughout its entire run. It's pretty wild. I mean, the shows in its last season were as good as the first.
Exactly.
So it's pretty impressive.
It is. And that doesn't happen a lot with series. I wear down on series sometimes. I'm not a big TV fan anyway. I'd rather listen to music or read, listen to podcasts, almost anything other than TV, other than my Michigan football. So there's like 13, 14 games a year if we go all the way to, you know, that I watch. And that's only 14 times a year that just please don't call me or interrupt because, you know, I'm in.
Right. Well, I got to tell you, I'm the complete opposite of you. Like, I'm a huge TV guy. And I think it's because I don't know how much you travel, but I speak a lot. So I travel a lot. So I've got my Kindle and I download shows all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what people did before the iPad and the Kindle. You know, I mean, you know, planes an hour later, 2 hours later, I'm like, all right, I'll watch another episode of, you know, whatever show I'm watching, and it kills the time. So I'm a huge, massive TV fan and grateful for it.
Yeah, my wife is. And I'm just the opposite. See, I can't remember. Okay, I can remember. I would say I can't remember the last time I've had my TV on in a hotel room.
Huh.
Now, I don't do that. This weekend, I was out with some business, and then I stayed over for a couple of family events over the weekend. Right. But I stayed in a hotel, and Michigan played.
Right.
So I had it on for that. But I had it on for pregame, and as soon as the game's over, I went to sleep. I didn't have it on the next night at all.
And the same way with me. Like, I'm a big Phillies fan because I'm from Philadelphia, and lots of Philly stories to tell you. But when they were in the postseason, just the last time, I mean, I was traveling for a couple of games, so I had the TV. That was the only time I've had. I don't put the TV on in the hotel. I usually just stream stuff, so I'm watching stuff on my laptop.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Which is weird. But it's just funny that you mentioned that because that was a rare time to actually watch the TV because the baseball game was on. So,
right.
But man, TV's unbelievable. We live in an unbelievable age. Unbelievable.
We do.
Never forget. Be grateful.
Be grateful. Absolutely. I try to remember that every day and remind myself, because that's huge. You know, I find myself, you know, I've coined amongst many monikers for myself. I try to coin my own. If I coin enough, maybe nobody will coin one for me that I don't want. So, but one of them is Hybrid Road Warrior Randy, because I've been a road warrior my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a 4+ decade, kissing babies, bro hugging, pizza pie lunches and all that. And when I got into doing all this more virtual stuff and being much more active on social media and podcasting and guesting on podcasts and stuff, I really started to hybrid this whole mission of combining the two and develop more force multipliers by augmenting one off the other. But with that, I up until about maybe a year, probably not that long, Gene, I would have told you that everything TikTok is the stupidest, dumbest, most ignorant thing ever in the world. And it might still be, but I do it every day. I probably put a post, not like I do on some of the other platforms.
I know, I know.
But I'll do a post or two. And I watch stuff on there.
Yeah.
And I find it entertaining.
You laugh.
Yeah, I laugh. I think some of it's funny.
Yeah, because people are hilarious.
They are. And some of the stuff they come out with is just, it's just so stupidly goofy that I just watch it and I just keep watching and I keep flipping and laughing. Yeah. But I think what I like is two things with it, Gene, is one, as I continue to grow my brand, right? The brand of Randy, we're having new generations come up, right? Huh. The old guys, my age, and maybe the ones a level or two or an age or two under me, they might go where I go now. But if I want to talk to those 20-year-olds that are soon going to be in a power position or maybe in 5 years, 6 years, I want them to follow me and know me then, not late to the game, right?
Sure,
and I believe, and I'd love your opinion on this, but if I want that and I want to brand myself with them, I need to go where they are. I can't expect they're going to come find me, right? Does that make sense?
You got to always find your audience. And you know, the people ask about, you know, what social media platform is good for you, and it's actually not a difficult answer. I mean, it's where your customers are. You know, I mean, you know, most companies, if you're in a B2B world, and a lot of my clients are, there's really no point for them to be on Twitter. I mean, they can be personally if they want to share opinions or whatever. But you know, honestly, their customers and their prospects probably aren't there. They're probably on LinkedIn. You know, then there's a lot of small and mid-sized businesses, retailers and mom and pops and specialty stores that are on Facebook. And so people are there for that. And I know a lot of people that are on Instagram and TikTok because they have businesses that lead to it. I interviewed a guy for an article I was writing. I forget the name of this guy, but he's a pickle guy and he's based in Los Angeles. And it's awesome. He makes like 30 different kinds of pickles, you know, different flavors and sour and sweetness and all of that. It's like Mr. Pickle Guy. You can find him like on Instagram and on TikTok. Wow. The guy's our age. The guy's like, you know, 60 years old. And he recently discovered Instagram and TikTok, and he makes these hilarious videos. And he looks great. You know, he's like an old burly, tatted up kind of guy. And he's making the pickle. And he's got like a million followers, you know, on these. It's amazing. And he said that his business was doing good enough in the market in LA. But once he went on Instagram, you know, and TikTok, he's been selling out around the world. He started up a whole e-commerce platform and he's been going there. So there's, you're right. You got to go to where your customers are, and social media can be super powerful in doing that. But you know, you have to, I'm sure you agree as well, Randy, that there is a balance.
Right? Oh, absolutely. I
mean, you know, going on social and being that way, even having meetings like this are great online. But I think younger kids, also smarter ones that I know, they realize that their best relationships come when at least there's some face-to-face interaction.
Exactly. Well, you know what I found, Gene, I love your take on this too, is when I got back after we couldn't travel during the whole lockdown world for a while. Cause that's my juice. My juice is being with that customer, bro hugging, shaking hands, breakfast, pizza, lunch, going out for a burger and beer, meeting their wife and kids, and going to their church outing on a weekend because they invited me to stay over. That's the way I've built my business, my career.
Yep.
But, and so when I got away from that, I realized I missed that, but I also realized that I picked up a way to augment in between times. And you may not see me if you're one of my customers and we for a month yet, And we may not talk on the phone if there's nothing particularly we need to talk about. But if you follow me, you're getting a dose of Randy, right? Maybe more than you want, like 10, 15, 20 times a day, right? So I think there's some value there. But don't you have to be really cognizant if you're going to, that's what I want, develop a little more business slash persona out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You better be careful with the opinions. You better be careful with the off-color stuff, because you got to remember what you may say in the back warehouse with Billy and John and Tommy is funny and good. But George over here, right, might not like that at all, right? So you got to be a little careful of that, don't you?
I can speak on this from experience. I mean, I have tried out over the years in all the writing that I do and the social activity of being opinionated online, being opinionated when I write, going edgy, being political, being non-political, taking positions on different issues. And I got news for you. I go back to what Michael Jordan said when he was blamed for not getting involved in politics back in like the 90s. And he was like, hey man, Republicans buy sneakers too, you know? And like, right. You know, I'm like just a big believer that if you're trying to build up a professional brand, I mean, unless there is some type of issue that is like a life or death thing for you. And I realize that does, you know, that could happen. But for the most part, getting involved in politics and social issues when you're online, and again, you're trying to build a professional brand, you are just going to wind up pissing off half of the people that are out there. That's the way the country is now. And I don't think that's your intention. I don't think you want to do that. I don't think any of us can afford to anger half of our customer base because we believe in abortion or we don't believe in abortion, or we support gay rights or we don't support it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the best practice, again, I think for people building a professional brand is just to keep their mouth shut, you know, and if they want to promote their brand or if they have like things that they want to say that's, you know, in context with their brand, that's fine. You know,
right.
I have a client, honestly, I have a client in Trenton, New Jersey, and it's a family owned business. They have about 150 employees, and they're big Catholics and they're big supporters of Donald Trump, and they hang the signs outside their business and they, you know, whatever. And I know it loses them business or it turns people off, you know, not that they're right or wrong, but it's just, there are going to be that prospective customer that comes and visits and be like, oh, I hate Donald Trump. So, you know, I can't do business with a guy. There are people out there like that. You know,
yeah, they
mean?
Are. And what do you think? Cause this is an interesting subject because big corporations are the worst, right?
They
but
are.
What causes using the again, a word that, it just, I don't like the word, but it is there. It is what it is. This whole woke thing.
Yeah.
What causes somebody to knowingly what we just talked about? I know when I do this, I'm going to piss off half my customers at minimum.
You know,
but I'm going to do it anyway. What addresses these people?
Well, here's the thing. It's competition and the need to sell. Anheuser-Busch is a perfect example. They had the whole campaign with Dylan Mulvaney, the trans, you know, celebrity, to promote Bud Light, and it blew up, you know. You know, you had Kid Rock, you know, with this AK-47 like blasting Bud Light cans. It, you know, angered. It was, they didn't know their audience. They missed it. And the marketing manager who like launched this campaign was responsible. She got fired. Other executives lost their jobs because of it. It was a disaster. It really was. My opinion, though, I don't blame people because they're trying. I mean, they're trying to reach out to other demographics. They clearly went and they looked, here's our Bud Light customer base. We're trying to expand the customer base. Let's go after the trans community and the people that support the trans community. So let's have a campaign with a trans, you know, celebrity. And you know, that's what we're trying. We're trying to sell beer. You know what I mean? Right. We're not trying to piss anybody off, you know? And in marketing, sometimes you swing and you miss, you know?
Right.
And that's the same thing with Disney and all these other companies. They take stands because they're trying to appease themselves to different demographics so that they can, you know, they can sell to those demographics, and they keep missing the point that if you're trying to appease to one demographic, there's going to be another demographic that opposes them.
Right.
You know?
Well, and you know, that brings me, I love the segue into this because, so what they're doing is they're going to try to go get another, pick a number, 20% of the population that are or would support or be supportive of that, and forgetting that you're going to lose 40% of the base you already have.
Right.
And I think that correlates into, you know, you do a lot with small, medium-sized businesses. Mm. And people ask me sometimes when I'm talking sales specifically, you know, it's important to prospect, right? We all understand the massive importance of prospecting to keep the pipeline filled, whatever terminology we want to do. But if you get so involved in only trying to find this semi-elusive at times next new customer,
yep,
that you forget to take care of the people that's been with you for 20 years.
Right.
You picked up a $100,000 account and lost a $300,000 account that's been with you forever. This new guy, even if it was a trading of dollars, which would be dumb, but even if it was a trading of dollars, this guy's with you now. All you've got is an order or two. You don't have a lifelong customer yet, right?
Yep.
And so I think it's the same kind of a thing. We've got to find that balance there between being woke and wanting a certain clientele and also prospecting. You know, just as we talk, it seems like there's a correlation there between.
I think there is. You know, it's another client of mine. I was at a meeting a few weeks ago. It was like this offsite meeting that we do quarterly, and they were putting up for 2023 their 10 biggest customers that gained, you know, new customers, and 10 different customers that went down in sales. You know. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at these customers that went down in sales, and we're all looking at each other around the room, and these guys are looking at each other, and they're like, well, why did that happen? We're ignoring these existing customers, you know? And we were, the discussion was like, you know, if our VP of sales did nothing in 2024, but get back on the road and visit each of those 10 customers twice, you know, he can not only replenish those sales, but increase sales. I mean, they're mm-hmm. right there. They're not, you know, so sometimes a lot of, you know, companies, they just, they try so hard and focus on that new customer instead of taking, you know, to me, it's the Verizon issue, you know, like I've been a Verizon customer for like 1,000 years, you know, I mean, you don't want to see my mobile bill. And like, you know, every deal that Verizon offers is like, if you sign up with Verizon, you know, like, you know, become right. a new Verizon customer and you get free phones and free whatever. Right. I'm like, dude, what about me? Like, I've been like a long loyal customer. Why don't you give me a free phone?
Exactly.
So being your customer. I just think some of these, the larger corporate brands in particular kind of miss the boat on that. And a lot of small and mid-sized companies do the same thing. And they're trying to appease, you know, they're trying to be one and all to everybody. And they just really can't focus on your existing customers, I guess.
Exactly. Because that's the other thing. And especially even with a company that's relatively narrow in their offering, and in my case as a manufacturer's rep, I'm narrow from a standpoint that I'm in the construction material, the building material world,
right?
But I'm broad from the standpoint that I rep several different manufacturers, right. and entirely different products, right? So, but my point of that is, if I've got an existing customer, if I got to spend an hour right now. Is it going after this brand new guy that's never heard of us, never bought from me, we have zero relationship, or am I better off going, I have Gene Marks over here that's been a 25-year customer, right. but I don't have his full share of wallet yet, right?
That's exactly right.
Isn't it better to go after that other share? Well, Gene, we've been doing this and this and this. Is there any opportunities on two or three of these other items, right? Isn't that a better use of that hour of my time
yep.
than chasing a pipe dream?
And the other thing that to even add to that, Randy, is that you've been in this business for what, 200 years now? Something like that, right?
Well, 199, but next year, yeah, dinner on you because it's my 200th anniversary. There I go again.
It doesn't feel any more than 190, okay? I understand.
Thank you.
But my point, though, is that you're not a sales guy anymore. You're a consultant.
Right.
You have learned enough about the business and the construction materials business that you can walk into any existing customer where you already have a relationship with, where you already have credibility, and you could be pointing out things that they could be doing better and ways that you could sell more products to them to help them make more money and do better. You're a consultant. And I know for a fact, knowing you as little as I know you, I could drop you in on any company that has, you know, that's an existing customer of yours, and you would generate more sales in an hour. I just know it. Whereas if you go to new customers, they don't even know you. You have no credibility with them. For all I know, they think you're trying to screw them around. You know, they don't. You have to like gain acceptance and work really hard just to get that door open. And it's so much harder work. I get it though. I mean, you do need to replace. I mean, customers do churn. So you do need to replace with new customers. I also get the fact that there is a bit of a thrill. Like when, you know, when I haven't dated in 33 years because I'm married, but there is a thrill that when you date that new person, you know, that, you know, wow, she likes me, you know, that kind of thing. And there is that, but honest to goodness, you know, the real opportunity, particularly if you've been in business for a few years, is to just expand your relationship and consult and help your existing customers. And I think that's where the money is. I only learned that from some really good clients of mine that do that.
Well, it makes sense. I had just had this exact conversation with a new manufacturer that I'm doing some work with, probably stretching the limits of what I've done in the past. But the draw that he had for me was, one, I had a presence out there in the industry, but secondarily, he knows that I can, there's no guarantee that I'll sell any of my existing customers. Obviously, there's never a guarantee, but I guarantee you this, and he knows this, I'll get an audience with every single one of them.
Yeah, that's great.
Every single one will say, yeah, come on in and let me take a look.
Because they know you.
Because they know I've vetted the product. They know I'm not going to waste their time. But I always like to start with that and kind of a little segue again to that, but is with new customers. Let's talk about that new customer for a minute, because we talked about, and a point you hit on a minute ago is right now we're the trusted advisor. We're the confidant. All we are is some knucklehead sales guy that wants to sell me something when you're brand new, right?
Yeah.
There's no reason for him to think any otherwise.
No, and, there isn't. Particularly and so, all the noise that's out there.
But exactly. Yes, really. Mm-hmm. So I've got to fight through all that for days, weeks, months, years at times to get them to finally understand that maybe I'm a little different breed, because I can tell you that all day long. And that's just my stick to get in the door. That's it. That's what they think, right?
Yeah.
So to spend all that time and effort, again, we need to continue that part of it. But I probably, and I don't know, and you're a numbers guy, and you're probably going to say you probably should know this, Randy, but I probably spend, if I had to guess, and it is a guess, at least 60 to 70% of my time massaging existing business, taking care of existing business, looking for that additional share of wallet, and then probably only 30, 35% truly out there looking for that brand new guy that I've never talked to in life. Is that even commonsensical in your mind?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I actually think it's like the 80-20 rule. And I think that the majority of your time, which it is, should be looking after those existing, you know, customers. You make me laugh because the credibility issue that you have with a new manufacturer and going out and trying to sell these products is tough. Just bear in mind, I mean, obviously for anybody that's, you know, listening or watching this, just, you know, I know when you introduced me, Randy, you introduced me as a CPA and one that, I write in all these different places, but I just want to be clear, like my business, I have a 10 person company outside of Philadelphia and I don't do accounting stuff. Like I'm not, you know, I'm a CPA, but I'm not a very detailed guy. You do not want me doing your tax return, but we do technology work. So we implement, you know, accounting, but mostly CRM systems, customer relationship management systems. So like Salesforce and Zoho and Dynamics and those kinds of things, right? So I deal with salespeople or my buyers, you know, VP of sales and VP of customer service. And I'm out there all the time trying to sell software. I mean, I'm selling, like you're selling, you know, construction materials, you know, I'm selling software all the time. Right. And I represent manufacturers. I represent Salesforce and I represent Microsoft and I represent Zoho and, you know, HubSpot. So if that's what it is. So when I go to a new client that has never heard of me before, for starters, because it's technology, they're probably starting off kind of pissed off because, you know, because something's not working.
Right.
You know, and like, so I got that. Or they're looking to change the people that are helping them with their systems. They've had bad experiences. So I'm not walking in there with any goodwill. People are like annoyed to begin with. So that's kind of tough, you know? And then there is a lack of, you know, credibility in the overall technology industry. People don't, you know, trust that. And I usually do two things just to share that with you. I mean, first of all, I sell other people's products. Like when I look at a client or a prospective company and I'll be like, you know, wow, this is great. Well, let me tell you something. Let me give you like four options, good CRM systems for your business. And one of them might be mine. And the other three would be competitors of mine. Because I'm like, listen, I've just learned over time that I don't want to put a square peg in a round hole, you know? And, mm-hmm. and I also know that mine's great and you would love it, but these other two competitors are also, they're really, really good. Like I know people that use them as well. You would go no wrong using them. I hope you would work with me, but you should also check them out.
Sure.
That helps a lot. Right. I mean, people usually get like, what is this guy doing? He's like selling other people's whatever. But I kind of feel like if you're going to go forward with somebody and have a long-term relationship, I'm hoping they did their due diligence. So let them look at what else is out there. You know what I mean? And I think that just helps everybody and all sides. So that's one thing that I do. The other thing I find myself doing a lot, Randy, I don't know if maybe you don't do this or not, but I wound up giving stuff away for free. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they came off a, you know, bad experience with some software or some service provider. And I'm like, I'll tell you what, we'll put 10 hours up on account with you to help you with training or to solve your problem or to you know, create that report for you or whatever. Well, I'm going to give you 10 hours of time. You know, if you're happy after that 10 hours and you want to move forward, then we can talk about starting to pay for other stuff that we need. You know what I mean? Right. But I need to show you that we'll put skin in the game and that we know what we're doing. And, you know, and people like after they've been burnt already, they don't want to write up, you know, and pay somebody else to do something that they don't even know from Adam. So I do sell other people. It's like all counterintuitive, but I sell other people's products that I don't make any money off of. And then I give money, you know, money away by free services.
Right.
And I'm not broke yet.
Yeah. Well, that's good. But no, you know, I think that makes sense. You have to be a giver, not just a taker.
Yeah.
If you're looked at as just a taker, and one of my, I've told somebody the other day, I was guesting on somebody's show. I can't remember whose it was, but they asked about this. And I said, you know, one of my favorite calls, and it tells me that I'm there with these people, right? As that trusted advisor, as that confidant, when they'll call them and say something to the effect, "Hey, Randy, I think maybe you don't have this, but I know you'll know somebody that does."
That's great.
You know, see, that right there is one of my favorite calls.
I agree.
And I will go, I want to say work harder, but I'll work as hard to find that for them or put them in touch with the right rep. I've put them in touch with a competitor's rep.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll call the rep up. You know people in the industry. Hey, how you doing, Gene? Good, good. Hey,
yep, I do.
Hey, don't go stealing this guy from me, dude, because I know where you live, but this particular product, and you know, most guys are respectful enough that if you do that, they won't even attempt to take any of the other. They'll just thank you for what you give me.
Yeah. I feel the same way. There's a certain percentage of jerks that are out there. I get that. Yep. But for the most part, people are good people and they're very appreciative when you do something like that. And it pays back. I mean, because 2 years later, you get a call from that guy saying, "Hey, you know what, Randy? I got a customer myself that we can't supply. And, you know, can you help?" People don't forget that stuff. And you feel good helping out an existing customer, and you feel good because they turn to you because you're a consultant, not a salesperson.
Right.
They're literally saying, "We need help, and you probably don't sell this, but can you consult with me? Can you give me, can you connect me to somebody that does?" And that feels great. That really
does. Well, if you're just a good steward of your industry and just do what's right for the customer and right for your supplier, your manufacturer, your employer, whoever you work for, if you just do the right stuff, period.
Yeah.
And take yourself out of it all the time. Like as we've all heard the term, right? That gets used a lot, but a lot of sales guys get commission breath, right? And you can smell it a mile away. It says, "I got to sell something to you." And I like to be in a position and certainly come across, but I try to operate from the standpoint that, Gene, at the end of the day, if it's not good for both of us, I don't even want to start down the road together.
I agree.
Let's just not do this.
Don't you feel like, Randy, that you've gotten to a certain age and a certain point in your life and a certain level of financial security where you can take a step back and say, you know what? It's okay if I don't get this deal. I want to just, I want the right thing for this customer. You know what I mean? Or I can walk away from this, or I can recommend somebody else. Like there's not, I don't feel the same level of urgency I did when I was, say, in my 30s, when I was still trying to build up my bank account and pay the mortgage and pay for my kids and my family. Now it's like I can be a little bit more, I don't have to do all the time what's best for me. You know, I can think more about what's best for my customers. And I think just sometimes that just comes with time. Do you know what I mean?
It does. It comes with time. It comes with age, experience, and you've learned and you've made that mistake enough times that you finally remembered that you know, and maybe it's subconscious. You don't even think about that. You remembered it. But there's been too many times where I rushed to get this sale.
Yes.
And it was not a good sale, right?
Yes.
And all we did is pissed off that customer to where now he doesn't want to come back to me for anything else.
Right.
Because he felt I steered him wrong. And I know just the other day I got a new product I'm working with. And he goes, well, you know what? I like it. The numbers are good. He said, and I could tell he's about ready to say, maybe I'll just go ahead and pull the trigger. I said, hold on. Mm. If we do this, we're going to do this for a long, long time. Mm. We've done business for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I do not want the order until I send you some samples.
Good.
And I want you to make sure.
Good.
Because otherwise, if they're good, we're going to do a deal, right? You go, oh, absolutely. If you don't like it, it's not what I told you it was. It just doesn't fit. All that's going to happen is you're mad and upset, yep, mistrust me. And we still got these 12 pallets of stuff that now I got to do something with because you don't really want them.
And I don't think, right, you learn that lesson until you experience it yourself. I mean, I'm betting that you can look back over your career and you can name off some of those bad deals or some customers that you sold for whatever reason. And you look back saying, I don't know why I did that deal or why, so it was not the right thing to do, you know? And you learn. You're like, oh, I'm just not going to do that again, you know?
You don't want the one thing that you always have, right, besides or lack of, is you only got so much time.
Yep.
And there's a credibility bank, right? And you want to keep adding to that bank. You don't want to keep withdrawing, right? And every time you withdraw from that credibility bank by looking less than interested in only Gene's best interest as your representative, I've drawn a little bit out that I don't get to put. It's hard to put it back. If I take a dollar out, it's going to take thousands of dollars back.
Sure.
To maybe get back to where you have that same confidence level that you did at one time. And that may take forever if it ever happens, right? Every chink in that armor, it's tough to polish it out, right?
I agree.
So beautiful. Well, you know, you have been so kind. We could have done this for about 5 hours, but
yeah,
you've been so kind.
It's a great conversation. I mean, we've scratched the surface of stuff that you and I could be talking about.
And maybe we'll just do it again sometime. I mean, we do invite people back that we really, really like. And but let's talk about your last book real quick before we get out of here.
Sure.
Tell us about the book. Why people should buy it, what they're going to learn from it. Give us, this is a commercial time. Give us the commercial.
No, I appreciate that. It's a combination of a bunch of columns I've written over the years and then edited and updated. And, you know, as you know, I mean, I speak about 50 or 60 times a year to trade groups and industry organizations. And I talk about all the different ways, my smartest clients and leaders and readers are doing to navigate their way through whatever the current times are: high interest rates, high inflation, supply chain issues, a pandemic, labor shortages, regulations from government. These are all things that impact your cash flow. So this book is just all different ways that I have learned over the years as a journalist and a CPA from the smartest clients that I've had and readers, what they do to navigate their way around challenges that they face, and ways that they increase their cash flow. And it can be anywhere from more marketing tactics and sales tactics to ways to manage overhead and employees and build their business through financing. So that is, I just put it all together into one book. So it's called Want More Cash. And that's what the book's all about.
Beautiful. And then people can get that on Amazon.
Correct.
Hard copy or soft copy, whatever. Kindle, correct, probably.
Correct. And out of the beautiful six books that I've written, it's definitely my favorite one.
Good, 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 good. So they can find all six of your books at Amazon.
Correct.
Beautiful. So Wes flashed it up there a minute ago and I was thinking about what I wanted to do next. Should ask question. What did I miss today? What would you like to end this thing with?
Let's go with a big bang. We've talked about all sorts of things in sales and marketing and looking after your customer, whatever. And we did mention TV. You didn't ask me what my top three TV recommendations are this month.
There you go. I did not.
No.
I did not. I set corrected because I'm sitting and I like to be accurate. What, Gene, let's start over. Hey, Gene, as we wrap this up, what are your three TV recommendations this year?
Well, Randy, thank you for asking me that because I'm always looking for recommendations as well. So I appreciate it very
much.
You're
welcome.
So I just finished watching while I travel two older HBO series that when you Google best HBO shows, they're always like in the top five. One is The Wire, which is fantastic. Police and Other People in Baltimore right after 9/11, a great series. The other is Deadwood, which one of Timothy Oliphant's first series, fantastic Western series. That's not really a Western. And then the third show that I watch is much newer. It's current. It's called The Bear. It's on Hulu, and it's all about a guy that takes over a restaurant from his brother who passed away in Chicago and is building up the restaurant. And it is intense and great. So The Wire, Deadwood, and The Bear, three recommendations for anybody that cares.
There you go. Well, I care, because now you're almost might convince me to get back into a little TV.
Yeah.
Because I will tell you, the last series that I watched that I got into with my wife was Yellowstone.
Amazing.
Absolutely brilliant.
Beautiful
show
to watch, right?
It's just incredible.
Yes.
Then I got sucked into the other couple of offshoots. What was it? 1923 and 18 something, whatever they were. This is just my mental capacity to stick to itiveness with some of those sort of things. I loved Yellowstone, but whichever the one that were the young John or what, but where he was out in Africa, the one where he's in Africa. Early on in the Yellowstone series.
Okay.
I started getting lost.
And
TV is one of those things for me. If I got to try too hard to follow it, my mind just won't work that way. I get bored real fast. It's like, I don't even have no idea who that person is. But my wife will go, well, that's somebody's uncle's son's cousin's. That's way more than I want to know and try to do. And well,
The Wire is not your show, because it's amazing TV, but it's kind of complicated because there are a lot of characters. But I do got to tell you, especially because you like Yellowstone, Deadwood takes place in the 1890s in a real town. The acting is amazing. The writing is amazing. And the characters in it are based on real life characters. And like Calamity Jane, for example, is in it, you know?
Okay.
And so you get a combination of great writing, great, great acting, great history. So you learn a lot by watching it. And you know what? You know what, Randy? You walk away saying, thank God I live in 2023 and not 1890.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. Well, good. Great recommendations. Gene, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Randy. Take care. Have a great holiday.
Good time. Yeah, I will. You as well. Enjoy. It's coming up fast. All right. Cheers. Bye-bye. All right, folks. There you go. Gene Marks. Check out his books, Amazon. Check out his articles in everywhere. I mean, he's everywhere. He's on Fox News, MSNBC. As I said, he writes for everybody that is anybody. So follow the man. It's been a true blessing to get to know Gene, and you're going to love him. So make sure you follow him. That's it for now. I am going to get out of here, but remember this. I talk about it every time. I'm not going to stop talking about it. Love what you do and do what you love. That's what I'm doing right now. It's a hybrid lifestyle of work, of podcasting, of writing, just stuff I love. So make sure you do what you love and love what you do. And hey, while you're at it, go make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Let's go. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.